think it's struck.
Come on, push, 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 push. And down.
I go behind the scenes at a triathlon, where the athletes push their bodies to the max. It gets rough out there.
Vanessa smashes a human bone.
Ow!
And shows you how doctors rebuild it. Grab your saw, your hammer, and your drill.
And I do another kind of breaking with world champs.
What's up?
Dance moves I didn't know were humanly possible.
That looks good. That looks good. Look real.
And Charlie shows us other superhuman body tricks. Find out how this guy walks on fire.
Well, that's science, too.
It's popular mechanics for kids. Body mechanics.
Body mechanics show.
Today we're gonna see people test their limits
and push their bodies to the extreme.
It starts right here in the gym. Some serious training.
Okay.
The winner goes to the spa, the loser hits the machines.
Okay.
Okay, call it.
Tails.
Oh, heads. I get to go to the spa. I get to go to the spa.
Okay. I'm gonna try a bunch of different machines and I'm really gonna push myself. So we'll meet back here and we'll see who feels better.
Who do you think is gonna feel better?
I guess I better start stretching.
Good idea. You don't wanna hurt yourself.
I'm off to the spa for some TLC. Tyler's lazy care.
Ready for your treatment?
Yes.
Tyler has all the luck.
Imagine you're in a race to see how far the human body can go. You have to swim 2 kilometers, bike 55, and then run another 15 kilometers. Well, these people aren't going to imagine it. They're going to do it.
Next, please.
It's called a triathlon. And these athletes could be called supermen and women.
Next, please.
654.
I'm going to see for myself how people survive a torturous race like this.
Hey, William.
Hey, Tyler.
Good luck in the race today.
Thank you. You too.
I'll try to keep pace with William in the first wave of swimmers. Oh no, here comes the second wave already. I can't keep up.
Oh, that was close.
Okay, so you're not gonna see me compete.
How come I can't be a super athlete?
Actually, Tyler, you can.
This is Doug. He's the race doctor.
Being a super athlete has a lot to do with how fast your heart beats when you're active. This is me, 180 beats per minute. This is the average triathlete, 140 beats. The slower your heart beats, the less oxygen your body is using up. A good athlete is fuel efficient.
You know what? You're not doing too bad.
It's not only oxygen that keeps our body going. It's also food and water. And although the athletes ate before they left, it's not enough to get into the finish line.
So what they use is this energy goo, sloppy stuff, and they just suck it back real nice. See it?
Ew.
Excellent.
Triathlon isn't easy, even if you have trained. 10 out of every 100 triathletes wind up in the medical tent. It's a lot. Whew, I'm really dizzy. Ouch. What'd you do that for?
That's called the pinch test, and I can tell if you're dehydrated with that test, and you are. You need to drink. That's why you're feeling dizzy. There you go. How's that?
Better. When they pinch your skin and they let go, if it stays up, that means you're really, really dehydrated and you really need to get a drink.
If you don't replace the water you sweat out, it's like a kettle boiling dry. You can overheat and you can die.
But if you pinch it and it goes down normal, You're okay.
Should we go?
Let's go.
Just run?
That's it.
All right, let's go.
Triathletes often pee on the run.
You see, the water you drink has to come out somewhere. The pros don't stop for anything. It's just a demonstration.
If your body's not fuel efficient, you get cramps. And that means that your muscles aren't getting enough oxygen.
Hey, you want to ride?
Sure.
Swimming, cycling, running, and motorbiking. That's my kind of triathlon.
Let's see if I can beat William to the finish line. Thanks for the ride.
You're ready to go.
How'd you get here so fast?
Say I used a lot of fuel. All right, let's
great race.
You too.
Now you try.
I get down. It's the world's best break dancing.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
That's later on PMK.
How can you tell if you're double jointed? People who are double jointed have loose ligaments.
What's a ligament?
Well, you know what a muscle is.
Uh-huh.
Well, muscles move your bones around. And the stuff that keeps your muscles on your bones are called ligaments. If your ligaments are loose, your body can bend and twist in unusual ways.
Uh-oh.
This makes you double-jointed. A lot of double-jointed people have tall parents, and they're usually good at sports, gymnastics, and ballet. And more girls than boys are double-jointed. You can tell if you're double-jointed if you can bend your thumb back to touch your forearm, if your little finger or wrist can bend back 90 degrees, if your elbows and knees bend a little the wrong way, or if you can bend over and put your hands flat on the floor. If your body won't do any of this stuff, you're probably not double-jointed.
Imagine having a needle stuck in your back, and it goes all the way to your spinal cord. The doctor uses this video x-ray machine. It's called a fluoroscope. The fluoroscope lets her see exactly where the needle is going. It hurts, but now the doctor knows which disc in her patient's back is causing him pain. She can operate and help him feel better.
Go PMK on the web and put the right foot forward. Click Charlie Machine to find out how to run faster and see how Charlie's feet measure up on this high-tech gadget. But don't smell Charlie's socks. It's only at pmforkids.com.
I was hoping for just a gentle massage.
First, the cold shower.
Oh. Massage?
Mud bath.
Lighten it up a bit. Oh, that's much better.
Now we either walk the back or we do a Rolf.
Well, I don't want you to walk on my back. So what's the Rolf?
I get the tissue wrapped around your muscles and bones, and I stretch it and put it back where it belongs.
It's over? Oh. Oh. Good thing Vanessa's learning how to fix broken bones.
Oh. We've got an accident here.
Go.
Every day, kids come to hospitals with broken bones. How do they fix them? I'm here to find out.
Hi, Vanessa.
Dr. Benarash fixes broken bones. Meet Bones.
I'm all bones.
And when they break?
Ow!
But don't worry, I'm gonna fix this broken leg. Our bones are a support system. Like the frame of a house, they hold us up. Bone heals just like your skin, but it has to heal straight. How do we get the bone to heal back the way it was?
Carpentry!
With screws, nails, screwdrivers, drills, and plates. Not that kind of plate. Medical plates. These bones are made of plastic resin. Doctors practice on them. A real operation is much messier. A screw goes in at an angle to hold both pieces of the bone together.
Now you should be feeling the screw biting the second part of the piece of the bone.
My muscles are coming into play.
There.
The plate holds the two pieces of bone in place until they can grow back together.
Okay, let's drill some holes.
It's not as easy as it looks. Screwdriver? Doctors use different tools to fix different kinds of broken bones. Like the external fixator. These pins go right through the skin, and this rod holds the two pieces of bone together.
I want to see my lawyer.
Or the nail, straight down the middle of the bone and hammered in place. Ta-da! Bones, you're like new. Well, sort of. He's still got screws in his leg.
Oh, don't worry, Vanessa. Once the bone heals, we remove the screw and plates, and it takes about 6 weeks for the hole to fill in.
Bye, and thank you.
Bye-bye, Vanessa.
Bye. Come on, Bones. Just kidding. Bye.
Charlie reveals how sideshow artists can put their bodies through torture and not feel any pain. That's later on PMK.
With a special ultrasound camera, we can see incredibly clear pictures of how a human being develops inside her mother's body. At 5 weeks, she's only as big as a pea. You can see her eyes, and her hands are just starting to grow. You can see her heart beating. 4 weeks later, her hands and feet have grown a lot. At 12 weeks old, she still can't open her eyes or mouth, but she can move. At 24 weeks old, her mother can feel her moving. After around 9 months, she's born.
When people lose an eye, they usually get a glass one to replace it. You can't see out of the glass eye, but it helps the person who gets it to look and feel normal. The way they used to make glass eyes wasn't perfect. The real eye moved, but the glass one stayed still. Now they've solved the problem. This new kind of glass eye has a little post that attaches to the muscles, the same muscles that make the real eye move. Now the glass eye can move just like the normal one.
Hi, and welcome to the new hit TV game show, Do Not Try This at Home. Here is your first question. Which one of these should you not try at home? A, eat an apple, or B, eat a light bulb?
Eat an apple?
No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The answer is, you should not eat a light bulb. For centuries, stunts like eating glass and swallowing swords have been a part of carnivals and sideshows and, of course, hospital emergency rooms. But how do they do it? Is it magic? Is it willpower? Well, mostly it's science and a lot of proper training. So do not try this at home because you will get hurt. Now, I should say that their stomachs aren't the only thing these performers abuse. After you. We've all stepped on something sharp before, like a piece of glass. So when we see someone standing on hundreds of pieces, we automatically think it must hurt even more. But that's not necessarily true. Let's say my hand is my foot, and this nail is, well, a nail, all right? If I were to press down with all my weight on top of this one tiny point here, it would puncture my foot. But if I were to press down on 135 nails, my weight would be evenly distributed throughout the 135 tiny little points here. It would still puncture my foot, but not as deep and not as fast.
It's the same thing with this glass. If I step on one piece, I'll cut my foot. But if I step on 100 pieces that are properly positioned, there's less of a chance I'll cut myself, because my weight is evenly distributed over lots of points. Now, again, I am not telling you to go out there and stand on a pile of glass. No, that would be crazy. Now, the people that do these stunts are highly trained individuals. Okay, they would never, ever do anything stupid. Hey! Hey! Oh, wait a minute.
That's better.
But Charlie, you say, what about when people walk across the coals? How do they keep from burning their feet? Well, that's science too. Now, for starters, they use wood coal. And they are hot, but the really hot coals are underneath. On top, things tend to cool off rather quickly. That's why they don't use charcoal, because charcoal burns evenly from top to bottom.
The sweat on their feet protects them a bit. And if they move quickly, their feet won't burn.
It's just like walking through hot sand. But you can't stand still, because your natural instinct takes... Hey! Which way did he go?
You smell something burning?
Water. Well, there you have it. That's what happens when you cross science with a sideshow. Oh, I sure wish I had something to eat.
You can share my lunch.
I suppose this would be a light snack.
Everybody can dance. But not everybody can dance like this.
What's up, Tyler? How you doing?
You guys are amazing.
Thanks. Hey, you guys want to take a break for a few minutes?
Is a member of Rock Force, the world's best breakdance crew. Rock Force has won every major breakdancing competition there is. The competitions are called battles, and the main point of breaking is to outdo the next guy. So in a battle, if a guy doesn't move like this, another will try to go one better by either adding something to the move or by doing a more difficult and impressive move.
That's right, because the breaker with the most creativity and most energy generally wins the battle. Want to try?
Sure.
This is a flare.
Okay.
My left hand's going to go down, my left foot's going to go behind my right foot, and both feet are going to swing in the air.
Okay.
Like this. Now you try. Be careful. Arm straight.
My arms, my wrists already hurt.
Well, sprains are a general part of breaking. I got this from backflips.
Cuts, bruises, and scrapes are all a part of this acrobatic dance. The trick is not to get seriously injured. Lots of people get hurt because they try and do moves that they don't have the muscle or control to be able to do. Okay, so how do I learn to break dance without breaking my neck?
The key to breakdancing is warming up.
What? I get the simple warm-up, because I'm not ready for the neck-breaking moves.
Good job.
Excuse me?
Maybe you should try some popping.
Popping? I know how to do that.
Ooh. Well, I think you need some lessons from Bionic Moon. He's an expert on the subject.
What's up?
Well, maybe I could use a lesson or two.
Well, Tyler, it seems pretty easy as it appears, but in actuality, it's pretty difficult. I mean, you're moving your body around, feeling kind of weird, and it's just jolting around. All right, we're going to try the wave first. You know, remember what you tried to do in the beginning? It's 11 steps. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. All together now. That's be good, man.
Next, I learn how to do the ghost.
Be stiff. Yeah.
Enough practice. Let's break.
Kind of jealous that you got to go to the spa.
But you know what? I feel really exhilarated from all that activity. How's your stuff?
Great, fantastic. I loved it. Now you should really get a massage next time we come.
Cool. Well, see ya.
And make sure you ask for Helga. See you next time on PMK.